Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Lick It Like a Lollipop. Tonight we have a special guest that Gemini has already interviewed on her podcast, so we're excited to have her.
Yeah, we have my friend, musician, inspiration, girl boss, Samantha Leah. Welcome to Lick It Like a Lollipop.
Hi, I'm so excited.
We're so excited to have you on.
So you all may know Samantha from some of her viral sounds on TikTok, and Lucky Girl has literally been like an anthem. Like, the Lucky Girl Syndrome has been like an anthem for me, because when I'm depressed or sad, I just hear that song in the back of my head and I'm like, that is my song.
Wow.
What has been going on since we last interviewed? Last time I talked to you, we talked kind of about the journey that you had starting your music career a little bit and some of the inspiration that was going around that. And I know that you had mentioned kind of the style of music that you were wanting to do was evolving a little bit as you were having different inspirations. And I've noticed that the sound that you're having right now and some of your newer stuff is different than your like manifestation mantra things that you had in the past. So what's kind of been going on with you?
Wow. When was that, by the way? That was over the summer?
It was, I think it was like the beginning of summer 2023.
Wow, time is just doing crazy things. Yeah, I'm actually completing an album that is very different in sound than a lot of the previous stuff. And actually, I've been posting a lot of the previous stuff just because I kind of had to have a moment of being like, yeah, this might not be what I'm making right now, and it might not be what I'm interested in writing right now, but other people might connect with this. And I actually had to like push my ego aside for that. So although I've been like reposting a lot of the more like, you know, like what you said, manifestation mantra, the stuff that I'm working on is still, it's still about healing, but it's just in a way of being more honest about the darkness, I suppose. So that's, of course, the sound, the music itself reflects that. So one way I could explain it is it reminds me of a circus, like a freak show, which I love.
I love that. So do you write all of the music that you perform?
Yeah, I write all of the lyrics, and I work with only a very few amount of music producers.
So I remember hearing whenever you interviewed on Coven of Rejects that you've been making music like your whole life.
Yeah. My dad and I, we would write songs when I was like 7, 8, 9. He was a bass musician, so it was kind of our way of connecting. And ever since then, it's been in my life, more pronounced in certain parts of my life. Like right now, obviously it's at the forefront, but as I grew up, yeah, I got to write with my dad a lot.
Aren't you going to be going on? I feel like we talked about you going on tour, like behind the scenes, not on the podcast, but is that something that you're working on?
It's definitely something that I'm focused on doing soon. It's not something I'm actively working on right now because the album has, it's taken more of the time. And I also, I want that music to be out first. And yeah. I guess for people to decide if they would want to see that type of stuff, because it is very different than the other stuff. But of course I would perform all of it, but yeah, I'm going to focus on that. Probably think about it more towards the summer.
Okay, so I kind of feel like when I first found you when you were on the music scene, well, not when you were first on the music scene, but like when I first found you, the music that you were doing was very much the like light, airy, this is like the healing vibration, whatever. And now it seems like you're kind of going into that like more shadow aspect of yourself. Is that kind of how you feel? And does that help you also with your healing journey and doing your shadow work by like expressing it that way?
Absolutely. Like everything that I go through, I feel like I'm documenting now in the stuff that I'm writing. And I feel like a lot of the other stuff was representative of who I was working with. You know, who you work with, the person you're cultivating the music with, really affects what the outcome is. So without knowing exactly what you want, things might just pop out and you might not even realize. Like Manifesting Magic, I wrote with a producer that I don't work with anymore, and he was into a very like pop mainstream sound. And I actually really like that track, but I don't know if I would have come up with that sound on my own. So it's helped me to realize like, okay, that's one part of me, but it is absolutely not representative of what I actually am into. I don't listen to very mainstream pop, some of it. And I like to make all types of stuff. I don't want to just like say, oh, well, I'm only going to make one type of sound. But I actually am more attracted to darker sounds, like minor chords, just more like, I mean, you'll see, which is more witchy stuff, like more like, ooh, like what is she cooking up in her, like in her house? Like what is going on in there? Because I think that that's just, I resonate more with like talking about the stuff that we all go through, like you said, the shadow self, and figuring out how to move out of a dark state. That is very much so one of my passions.
Do you feel like you have found your niche sound, or do you feel like it's just constantly evolving?
I think that it's constantly evolving, and it takes so long to even like understand who you are, what you want. But I think that right now, the sound that I'm cultivating is going to be my sound for a while.
I feel like when you are doing those like lower tones and whatnot, and like the more witchy sounds, as you said, it just makes me think of like having the comfort to step into like your divine, like dark feminine energy. And collaboration and who you have around you is so important. Like you were mentioning, you know, who you were having around you at the time. And I think that that goes into any area of you expressing art, whether that be music or something else. Somebody recently was asking me about starting a podcast and they wanted to start it with somebody. And I was like, oh, well, I actually, as somebody who has something like by themselves and with somebody else, like if you're going to do something for the first time where you don't have direction, doing it solo, so that then you can figure out what you want to do and bring like something else in. I had opportunities for different podcast collaborations before Rampage, and thankfully nothing worked out, because I can't imagine having collaborated with somebody else that influences like the tone, the message that you give, the guests that you have, the way that you do production. And it has to be the exact same thing for you as well.
It's literally the same thing. It's amazing how it is really the same thing, because who you are working with, especially if it's not a large amount of people, like with you guys, it's really 50-50 in a way. And if the one half of it isn't really resonating, then your finished product isn't going to be what you envisioned it to be. And I feel like I didn't understand that concept until pretty recently. And I also was in denial. It was a bunch of things like that. I feel like say you started a podcast with someone else and you didn't really love it. There might be a potential of just almost telling yourself like, no, it's great, just because of how much effort you put into it, how much time and the energy that you put into it. And maybe later on you'd be like, ooh, that actually was not in alignment with who I am. I mean, I feel like right now that wouldn't be the case for me. If I met someone and they produced something for me and I didn't like it right away, I would be able to stand up for myself and be like, yeah, that's definitely not this. We shouldn't really work together. I don't think we're going to see eye to eye. But I think back then when I met the person that I was working with for years, I mean, I met him 5 years ago. Like, I was a completely different person. So I didn't understand until I was out of the situation how much what they wanted was really affecting the outcome as a total. And I definitely don't like take any of that back, because those songs that did really well really helped me to find people that they do want to hear a lot of the topics that I'll continue to talk about. Maybe not the sound per se, and maybe not like all happy and sunshine, but a lot of the topics I've talked about over the last few years, they're going to stay the same and just evolve.
So when you started making music with these people, do you just feel like you were like learning and growing through that process? So that influenced what you were producing? Because at the time, I feel like manifestation and spirituality and all of these topics have gotten super kind of mainstream, especially since COVID. A lot of the mainstream energy that we started to see was crystals and manifesting and, you know, healing. And I think that a lot of music reflects the time period that we're in, whether you're looking at like music from the 60s, it's like the war is over, to music in the 80s, you know, to now, like the time period that we're collectively in. I always feel like music is like the journal or the diary for the moment, and that's the energy that it holds. So I do think that right now, especially with Neptune moving into Pisces and Saturn into Pisces, we have a lot of darker topics. A lot of illusions have been revealed, a lot of fakeness, and, you know, people that are manipulating or scamming others, like it's all coming to light. And so I feel like right now going into a more darker energy really fits where we're going as a collective, because we cannot keep allowing people to manipulate us and to take advantage of us in the name of family or love or friends. Like, we have to stand up for ourselves. And that is the nitty gritty part of this experience, because so many people just wanted people to like them. And I feel like now as a collective, we've all reached this point where it's like, I don't care if you like me, it's fine.
I've been thinking about that a lot actually lately. Just like, obviously when videos do better, there's going to be comments from people. And I feel like I used to see those comments and be like it was a feeling of desperation of like, but if you only knew, I'm a good person. Like, I wish I could show you how good of a person. Now I see it and I'm like, ew, like, get off of my feet. Like, you are blocked. And I agree also. I think I wrote Manifesting Magic in 21. So it makes sense. It's like, yeah, I mean, I feel like that was also, and I feel like also the lucky girl syndrome, which I did on purpose, because I saw that that was becoming a like mainstream topic, which I was like, wow, we are in a different era. It's really happening. Like, we are in the age of Aquarius, and it's like, we all knew that was going to happen. But at the same time, actually seeing it happen and seeing these topics become mainstream blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, it's not weird to talk about this anymore. This is crazy. So when I saw all those things becoming more popular, I definitely, in a way, I was like, okay, well, it's smart for me to jump on the bandwagon of this happening, because that I feel like will help me to find my people. Because the whole time I've been making music, it's like I didn't have a fan base that was into any of this stuff, any of the healing, any of the like becoming a better version of yourself, just in terms of spirituality. I didn't know how to find that. Like, that wasn't a fan base prior. So seeing these things become mainstream, it was like, oh, okay, now I see that there's people that are interested in talking or hearing about these things, and I think they'll resonate with my words. So I feel like that was a step for me to just meet people and have listeners that actually are interested in learning or hearing about topics like this. Because although it's normal for us to talk about like dark feminine energy and evolution and ascension and the age of Aquarius, and it's like, actually there's a huge population that they're like, what are you even talking about? So I think the most important step was just to find those people. And amazingly, it happened and it's still happening. And it still blows my mind that it's kind of just, like you said, mainstream to talk about manifestation and like crystals and tarot cards. It's like, wow, this is a new era.
Yeah, considering that like 60 years ago, you would be like just completely blacklisted, persecuted, just devil worshiper, whatever. And yeah. Now it's like so much more available to people. And no matter who you are or where you come from or what ethnicity that you are, there's like a secret sector like available to everyone. And I know there is like a lot of conversation about like cultural appropriation and XYZ, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, we have evolved as a species. And if you believe in reincarnation like I do, you've not always been a white person or a black person or a Native American person or whatever. Like, you have been a fluid soul that has evolved in every lifetime to be something different in every lifetime. And so I don't feel like, in my opinion, that too many things could be cultural appropriation if you believe in reincarnation, because you've not always been this person or this ethnicity or this gender or whatever. So I love to see like the younger generations, and I call it like conscious parenting, like people parenting their children to be exploratory and imaginative and to not just box everyone in like, this is right and this is wrong and this is devil worshiping and this is what you should follow. I feel like a lot more people, especially nowadays, are getting away from the church or getting away from certain organized religions because they realize like, this is brainwashing. Like, I don't have any say in what I believe. I'm being told what to believe. And so it's really, really beautiful, especially with TikTok, like how it can bring people together. We've talked about it, like the algorithm isn't what it used to be, and it's not as fun as it used to be, in my opinion. I've kind of just backed off. But at its core and in its glory days, it really did bring people together, and you could post something and wake up to hundreds of new followers and hundreds of comments. And now you got to like fight for your life to get that. But it used to be really readily available, but they were like, whoa, people are getting close and they're realizing the oneness of us all. We cannot have.
They're like, change algorithm now. Yeah, that's actually so funny. I've actually been spending more time on Instagram than I have in years, just because I'm like, I don't know what's going on with TikTok, but I agree. It's like, I am very grateful though for even those few years. And I mean, hopefully things change and go back to the way it was. Even if it doesn't, still, that was years of people becoming aware, even that there's other people that feel the same way as them about certain things. Like, that is just, that could be everything for someone. Just the amount of loneliness, especially after COVID, that everyone felt, and especially like knowing your spiritual being. And by the way, I agree with you about everything with reincarnation and how we were always a different race, gender, whatever, whatever, whatever. Yeah, I think that feeling lonely on your spiritual journey and feeling like you're insane was and is a huge thing. But I, again, just the connection that has happened, especially through TikTok, even though they changed the algorithm, like, you can't undo that. So good luck. Like, you already, it already like changed so many people's lives and empowered so many people. So thank God.
I feel like TikTok is still like a place of connection for people that have already found you and are on your journey. Like it's a way almost to like stay in touch with those people who have been like solid supporters of yours, but it's more difficult to bring new people in right now. And my theory to that is that TikTok realized during COVID how much online shopping and things people were doing, and they realized how much money they're missing out on by not having their own shop. Because we've talked about it on here before, like even shops that are on there that post their product, they post it at a discounted rate, plus they have to pay TikTok like a certain percentage of whatever. And so they're gaining money off of doing absolutely nothing. And in so many ways too, it's like unfortunate because a lot of small businesses that have things that they can't post on to TikTok, I'm like going off on a tangent. the stuff that like isn't like TikTok allowed, those shops aren't even getting the business that they used to anymore because TikTok's not going to send you to them because they're not on their shop to make them money, and you clicking off of the website does no good. So like a lot of musicians and creators and stuff that have links in their bios, TikTok is like, well, fuck you guys. You're not linking back to a TikTok shop. And so a lot of people do unboxings and things.
Yeah.
I am saying fuck you to the man. And I just keep doing my little witchy unboxings from small witchy shops and not doing TikTok unboxings because they don't even fucking pay musicians or anything what they should. You should get so much more for the listens that you have and stuff from going through TikTok. Like they should have such a different way to monetize musicians, in my opinion, and people that are doing readings and things like that. Like if you're running your business through there and getting views for those things, I think that you should make a different amount than just a regular creator.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. I saw like people saying that it's the new QVC because everything, it's like every other post is just TikTok shop. And it's crazy how quickly that happened too. It's just, yeah. And I agree. It's like, if you're using TikTok as a platform to get people to be a part of your business, even if it's not through TikTok shop, yeah, they should be paying you because you have people using TikTok and spending time on your content. And it's just social media in general has to change. And even when you think about the amount of money that Spotify makes, Apple Music makes, it's insane. I think like one stream for the artist is like 0.00001% of a penny. It's crazy.
0.0003, and you need a million streams to make $3,000. I started doing the math because like Jack Harlow is from Louisville, Kentucky, where I live, and that Lovin' on Me song came out and it just blew up. So I like did the math, and he had already made like in the first 2 days $350,000 off that one song because of streams vert like times that 0.003. But what's really weird for me is how everything has went like subscriber content, like even on Instagram, because, you know, I started a Patreon like 2 years ago and so did Gemini, and, you know, Patreon is its own platform and they take a shit ton of fees. Like between them and PayPal, I pay them like $700 a month, which is fine because I have a lot of subscribers that wouldn't otherwise probably get services if it wasn't automatically deducted. But another thing that I recently learned, and I don't know if you know this, Gemini, all of those gifts that influencers receive and then they like promote on their TikTok or promote on their Instagram, is actually considered taxable income. So if someone's giving you something to promote for them, the government is going to start making people claim that as income. So if someone gifts you something and it's a retail of $500 and you promote it, if it's a gift and you don't have to make a video and you just get to keep it and you don't have to tell anyone, but if there's any promotional influencer contract, you got to start paying taxes on that. And another thing is, you know, 5 years ago, if a small business made $20,000 or less, you didn't have to pay taxes on that. Now it's $600 or more. And it's because people in our generation are breaking the code from working the 9 to 5 and doing the capitalism cycle. And they're like, no, hell no.
They're like, no. Back in their
place. Yeah, they're like, no, you're going to work that job. You're not going to make that much money. So yeah, people don't realize, but next year, a lot of people they hired, I think like 33,000 new people in the IRS in the United States to start monitoring these influencers and these people who get makeup packages or whatever it is. And they're going to start taxing all of that.
Insane. Like, it's so obvious too.
It's very
Can you imagine the IRS being like, we saw you unbox 20 boxes of witchcraft items in 2024 and you didn't write that on your taxes and Melinda's been watching your videos all year, you know, like that's fucking nuts.
But the thing is, girl, they are gonna start doing that. It's not
I know, that's what I'm fucking saying, is like, that's crazy.
That's why I feel like, you know, everything with the Instagram selling the blue check mark was to start monitoring you by your government name. And there's been a shit ton of platforms across like the United States where they want it to be linked to your government name and your social security number in order to set it up. And that's the moment I will tap out of social media. That's the moment that like word of mouth will be the only way I'm promoting, because I'm not giving no social media my government name. I'm just not. Like, I already pay taxes on my home I already bought. I already pay taxes on money that I already have made. I've already paying sales tax on all this shit. Like, I'm not going to do the whole pay to promote and pay to do, pay to whatever, because they got me fucked up. But the moment they started selling those blue check marks, they made like $1 billion. Like,
oh yeah. And consistently do, because you have to continue to pay for it. It's crazy. And I feel like they're just coming up with new ways to like, when that first happened, I was like, that's crazy. There's no way. And then it became normal. And I feel like they'll just consistently find ways to take people's hard-earned money. Actually, my dad is selling his business, and he literally has to take that money. And again, like, he's had this business for decades. Like, he's worked really hard his entire life for this business. And he has to put it directly into a property and make money that way, like rent it out. Because if not, I think the government takes 30% of what he the money that he's receiving for it. So it's just like, it's just endlessly crazy. And things have to change.
I recently found out, because my grandma inherited some money from like a distant family member, that there is an inheritance tax on top of regular tax if you're not immediate family. So like, if you're like a mother to daughter, or, you know, grandpa to granddaughter, it's fine. But if it's like an aunt, an uncle, or a cousin, you've got to pay an additional inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. And I'm real big on like, okay, I could be burned at the stake, or I could pay a little taxes. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm not mad about that. But the system for me is that they're finding new ways to keep us down, like to keep millennials and keep people down. Because like, if forever in the existence of small business, you made $20,000 or less and didn't have to pay taxes, why the fuck is it going to be $600 or more? Like,
such a big difference.
You could literally make $600 at a yard sale, and they want money. They want a cut of it now.
Yeah. It needs to change. And we all know that. I don't know how it's going to change, but it needs to.
And everybody that, like, in all of the time of, like, people running for president and all of the things, and, like, I've even interviewed somebody running for president that we're going to have on the podcast here. But all of those people, nobody's mentioned changing the way that people are taxed, changing the way that money is set up. Like, our government makes so many choices that don't involve us in any way. And then they're like, oh, and you guys are going to give up more of your money to fund these things that we're doing without the people's approval, without having people properly representing you guys. My son today was telling me that they're learning in school about free speech and about your freedom to be able to say things and, you know, say your opinion and say your feelings on things. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself, like, you only have the right to free speech now if you're willing to have people cancel you, not promote your stuff, get kicked off of platforms that you can share your voice at, because you have the right to say what you want to say unless people don't agree with it. And then it's, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And the cancel culture and the people pitting against each other and using social media in those ways plays right into all of the things that everybody's arguing about in the fucking first place.
Yeah, it freaks me out. Like, talking about cancel culture, some of the things that I see, I'm lucky because so far, you know, I get some nasty comments, but for other people, I'm just like, I don't understand. I can't comprehend the mindset of really sitting at a keyboard and typing the things, or whatever, phone, and typing the things that these people type and say. And the cancel culture, it's just like, it is not, it just, that really has to end. And freedom of speech, hilarious. And the politicians, like, that are running, I was actually, when you were saying that, when, like, I was actually seeing in my mind's eye, just imagining a politician speaking, and they know all of the things that are wrong, but, like, I was picturing just, like, shadow people behind a curtain, like, ready to just, like, shoot them, like, ready to just kill them if they really talk about the things that matter. So, yeah.
Add to that, the thing about free speech is, like, in the bylaws and all the little agreed terms that we click on these platforms, you don't have free speech. You actually give that up when you hit agree and continue, and you don't read all of that. Just like we talked about TikTok changing over. Remember when they wanted to ban TikTok? So it came out with new rules and regulations and then started promoting, like, the learning portion of TikTok. That's because the government was so fucking triggered that Americans and all countries were coming together to speak about the conditions in their country. Just like when the French was protesting and everyone was like, I don't know why America isn't doing that, because y'all are a third world country in a Gucci belt and y'all don't have healthcare. At least we have healthcare over here. And ever since I heard that term about the third world country in a Gucci belt, it literally is so real. And, like, I feel so privileged being here in America. I feel like I have so many amazing opportunities and a lot of things that I didn't have in past lives or that I didn't have previous. So I never want to act like I take it for granted or that I don't agree with America. I think at its core, America had some really good values, but they killed people and stole from people and took things that were not theirs to literally create a mini fucking England. Like, the shit y'all were trying to get away from, we've now enacted and put y'all in power, and now it's fuck all us. And that's what bothers me the most, is because I'm like, this is crazy. Like, and we get leaders like Martin Luther King and then they assassinate them. And I'm just wondering, like, why did y'all assassinate all the good people? But, like, now we have all these lizard people or these crazy people in office, and I haven't seen an assassination yet. And I'm not, like, in it, but I'm saying, like, how did the really good leaders get assassinated, and now we have these freaking robotic people? Like, what the hell?
She said, how are you gonna let Martin Luther go, and then you're gonna be over here and let this guy live?
And I'm serious,
pretty much. Yeah, it's wild, 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 wild. It's true. Like, obviously, so grateful to be here. Absolutely, 100%. I would never say anything but that. Like, yes, I'm so grateful to be here. I think that it's been very eye-opening, especially through those videos on TikTok, like you were talking about, when the French people were revolting and they were saying, like, what are you guys doing over there? This is what you guys should be doing. All that stuff. There's so much stuff that has been seen on TikTok. And I think what it did is it, like, took the rose-colored glasses off a lot of people that, because it's not our fault, really. We've just always been told, like, we're the greatest country in the world. There, we are freedom. Like, we stand for freedom. And there's opportunities here that are not anywhere else, but we were only told one side of the story. I always think about, like, it comes up time to time where I think about how we literally, most of us in school, what did we do first? We did the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, that is crazy. And it really is just instilling in you at such a young age, like, your country is the best. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're not told the really dark stuff, even in our history classes. Like, it's nothing compared to really what went down. And yeah, I think that the fact that we got to see more of what was happening in the other parts of the world, and also what a lot of people in the other parts of the world think of us, because we're like, yeah, everyone loves us. Then you go travel or you see videos and they're like,
like Americans.
Yeah, they were like, that's no. So yeah, the rose colored glasses definitely had to be taken off.
Everybody in other countries think we eat and surf, and like that's all we do is like huge portions. We're shooting our guns, drinking our beers, and we're surfing the ocean.
Yeah, they're just like, you guys are idiots. What are you talking about? We don't want to be here.
My favorite thing was that someone on TikTok recorded like a propaganda video that was going through Germany that was like, donate to American kids, they're starving. And it was like how we see things where it's like, send money to Africa or send money wherever. It was like, send money to America because they're starving. And another thing TikTok made me realize is that Africa is one of the richest countries ever, and they're not poor, and they act like everyone lives in like a fucking mud shack or like a bungalow in the jungle, but that's not true. Literally, Africa is one of the richest countries with oil and all of the things. And it just blows my mind that every time America needs something, they just go start a war and blame that person and act like it's their fault. And if you really look at every war that we've had in the last 50 years, it's an oil rich country, period.
Of course. Everything we've been told is, it's like basically the opposite. Like, if you've been told something, just pause for a second and be like, okay, so opposite. Like, it's just opposite day every day.
Well, it's like being run by a bunch of dudes. And so it's like you're constantly being gaslit. And this thing happened right here. And then they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what happened. But let's look over here at this. Let's pay attention to this over here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's wild.
What happens when you let men be in control, ladies?
Oh, yeah. For literally ever.
I think that's my biggest beef with America, is that they will not let women sit at the table. Like, and I'm not like a fan of Hillary Clinton, but how in my lifetime is that the only crazy bitch that has ran, period? And they waited like until she got right at the cusp, and then they were like, not quick enough. It's like, you know, it's like that little commercial where he has the dollar on the little fish thing, and he's like, better be quick enough. And then poor Bernie Sanders, like, that man really cares, and that man really had some good policies. Like, and they just literally were like, go to sleep, grandpa. We're going to have sleepy ass Joe Biden be our president, who is literally the worst president. And I don't know if it's just because I'm older or because I'm like more cognizant and intuitive, but like, what the hell is going on right now? Like,
honestly, I was thinking about this actually recently too. When he was elected into office, I was in LA, and I remember that when news came out that he won, there was like parades in the street of people celebrating. And I was like, I I was like, this is literally the end of times. Like, first of all, even it doesn't even matter who won. Just first even thinking that a new president is going to save us. Like, how do we not know by now that nothing changes? And I just remember watching it, and I was like, wow, like people were literally partying, drinking, like celebrating. And it was because he got elected, and I was just like, oh shit, it's gonna be rough. This is gonna be a rough period of time.
I even think too, like, people weren't even necessarily celebrating because they were happy that it was him. People were just so happy for it to not be Trump that it was, right, like everybody was so happy for anything else. And in so many ways, like, just the way that that all happened, regardless of who you liked, the fact that those were your only two options at the end of the day, that there was nobody else who, like, the Red Party even paid any attention to. When it was on the blue side, there were so many different options of people who were in the running and who you had, but there was really nobody except Trump. So it was like everybody was running against him. And I think they were just so excited that it was not him that people didn't really pay attention to it. And there are so many other political parties that we have in America, and the only ones that get paid attention to are the Republicans and the Democrats. But we have, you know, people who don't have any party, that they are independent, I think is what it's called. And there are, I forget what it's called, but basically where you can, like, the people, you want the people to be able to govern themselves instead of everybody else having to govern them. And there's just so many different options, and they don't ever even make it on your ballot. And then you've got Colorado, who says, actually, not only are you're just not going to vote for this person, we won't even fake the count. We just won't even let you vote.
Yeah, I don't pay attention. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm very tapped out of things, but my dad actually told me about that, because he, like, my dad and I are actually really close. So he told me about that happening. And I was like, isn't that not allowed? Like, isn't that illegal? But also, I feel like so many things that are illegal, like, how do you force people to stay in their houses for a certain amount of time? Like, how was that legal? I feel like a lot of things over the last few years that probably aren't allowed have just been happening. It's like, yeah.
I want to say the thing about Donald Trump, not that I like Trump or don't like Trump, they wanted to teach other rich people a lesson to stay in their fucking lane, because he's the only person in history that had enough money to put himself into office. And they did not want people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and other people that had entertained, Kid Rock had entertained, running for president. They do not want people like Michael Jackson or whoever that had a following to be able to use their money and their platform in order to run and overturn democracy. And if Donald Trump would have just shut the fuck up, like, just been quiet. I mean, your wife was already a porn star. You've already raped people, and you still got into office and you couldn't shut the fuck up. That was his problem, like, in my opinion. And when I look at that in the bigger picture of things, they wanted to teach a lesson out of him to every other rich person. Because if Taylor Swift announced she was running tomorrow, she would win. She would win without even an ounce of knowledge or anything. And I have this theory that the next puppet that they're going to use is Kim Kardashian, because she went to school and got a law degree in the last 5 years. She has a law degree now. She was doing that little interview at the White House thing. She was, you know, freeing and pardoning black men. And Kanye was on the ballot in Kentucky, because I voted for him, just because, like, I didn't want to vote for Trump. I didn't want to vote for,
right, you're like, fuck it.
Yeah, so I just voted for Kanye because I was like, this is history. But the thing is I honestly think that they were trying to use that as a demo to see if the following was there. Kim you know, going from big BBL, big boobs and all this to going back down to like a normal size figure. She did that little American flag with the blonde hair promo, which I don't like this bitch at all. But this is just my theory that that will be the next pawn, like letting her wear Marilyn Monroe's dress and all of these things, because Marilyn Monroe was heavily involved in politics. That's why they got rid of her. She had way too much knowledge of the Kennedy family. And they were like, we can't have this loose cannon over here. Exactly.
You're out of here.
So I just feel like, why would Kim, who has more money than God, go get a law degree? Y'all tell me your opinions on that.
I like that theory. I never had thought about that, but I feel like a lot of what you said makes sense.
I have literally, and we've talked, okay, so we've talked about the Kardashians multiple times because I watched them from the very beginning and I was like, oh, like they're like so themselves and so honest and you can see everything, and they didn't have a huge house and they had like a little boutique and they were living real fucking life and they didn't have lips. And it was great. And then, you know, we fucked Ray J. And so then then after the sex tape, everything, you know, whatever. But I've been like, well, I've watched the seasons because I was with them from the beginning. And it's so crazy to watch someone become famous and then be molded into like just something completely different. You watch like even Kim, like on the show, she loved color and she like was so vibrant, she did all these things, and then now when she shows pictures of her house, it's literally nothing but stone and it's all the same exact color. And anyways, I can totally see like finding a person that you know is moldable, will do whatever you want, will do anything for success and money, and is so open. She is so open about the fact that like, I will do it if I get paid for it, and telling women like, you just need to go out there and you just need to work and this can happen for you too. So the government going, oh, we have the perfect person who can get along in all of these different areas, and telling her how to do it 1000%. But her dad was also in the shit. He got OJ off.
There's so many weird things, but I feel like the Donald Trump like saga in America was to teach other rich people a fucking lesson that we will dig up anything we can on you. We will ruin your reputation. We will gaslight you. We will impeach you. We will do whatever we got to do. We'll put you in jail. But yet Hunter Biden does cocaine at the White House and smokes crack, and it's on video and people know about it. And yet he had a court date last week and he just didn't show up. He didn't even go.
Wow. I mean, Hillary's emails got deleted and that's totally fine.
Yeah. It's just like, there's so many things that I feel like they use our money to fund this BS and like losing our money, but yet they want small businesses or the single mom or whoever to be audited and be looked into. But yet there's these very, very rich and powerful people that manipulate the system because they've created the system. Mm-hmm. And I truly don't like to get into like the doomsday thing, but I'll say this again. I say it all the time. I don't know what people's will to live is in the apocalyptic movies, because I promise you, my will to live goes way down when my conditions of living are not up to speed. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't have it in me to be like stockpiling dry goods and food to survive an apocalyptic situation or radiation and all these things. Like, I'm just like, take me to spirit, like take me to another dimension. Like, I wholeheartedly believe, especially since the government was like, aliens are real, that I will just go to a different timeline. Like, I will not be on that timeline. And the people that like connect with that or consent to that, they will. And that's a part of their soul's evolution and their journey. But I just feel like, as we have grown up, us three, we have seen so many fucking things, like so many things that you just never would have thought would happen 50, 80 years ago. And I always tell people, like, money has only been around for like 100 years, like 120 years. Why are we killing and so wrapped up and so worried about it? Like, literally, money was just created in the early 1900s. Like, it was not a thing. Like, there was gold, there was all of the things, but there was not the, like, emphasis on this paper currency as there is now. And it's just like, where is this going? You know what I mean? Like, where is this going?
Right. I feel like that even the timeline that we're on where money does have this huge emphasis, it's gotta, I just imagine what it would have been or what it could have been without that, because really most people are enslaved because of money. And you talk about like the will to live, and it's like apocalyptic times. Most people are on the edge of that will to live right now, because most people don't have enough. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but the way I see it, with, which is kind of, it's a similar thing. My dad and I are like we talk about all of this shit, and we always laugh about, because I listened to Britney Spears' book, and I told him about it. I told him about like what her dad did, blah, 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 all just everything. And we were just laughing because we laugh about this shit. And we were just like, there is a new third dimensional planet that is being spawned right now. It's a fucking rock flying in the sky. And I don't want to be on that planet. Like, I don't want to be in that timeline where I have to learn these lessons all over again. And we were just laughing about how he was like her dad is going to be the first person on that planet. So yeah, I don't know what the hell is going to happen, but I do believe that, yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that so many of us are evolving and we are becoming an evolved version of what we have been in the past. And I don't know what that is going to look like in the future. It's a very crazy time.
I'm like so open that I do not consent to suffering. Like, that's my thing. I do not consent to suffering. So whatever that looks like, I won't be suffering. And right. I work with like those affirmations, which is really like why I really liked your music. Just because like anything that is catchy and like affirmational really gets my like attention. And affirmations have recoded everything about my life, like from my finances to my confidence to just who the fuck I am. And that's what I teach my clients when I mentor people and whenever I teach, is like, your words have so much power, and so many people consent to suffering, like without even knowing it. They're just like very much in that consenting to suffering. Like, although I don't agree with the government as an institution, there are a lot of things that they do that are beneficial. And that's, you know, and I try to look at it from that perspective. Yes, there could be universal healthcare and education, but then we would be smart and healthy. And that is a threat to the system in place. You know, like a lot of the reason they don't fix the issue is because then when you're in thriving mode, or when you're centered and you're not in survival mode anymore, you will understand things differently. And like you said earlier, lifting that veil, taking off those rose-colored glasses, like it becomes very clear where the kinks in the system is. And a lot of it is rooted in keeping people enslaved. Even though we're not physically enslaved, we're mentally enslaved. And, you know, the money thing and the resources and whatever, like we as a collective need to shift our focus from celebrities and from overconsumption and just hustle culture and move more into a balanced, centered approach. Because, you know, back when our grandparents were growing up, it's not that they didn't want multiple pairs of shoes. They couldn't afford multiple pairs of shoes. Now I have shoes I have never even worn, or I've worn them once and I have hundreds of pairs and I love shoes. But at the same time, I'm like, this is a little extra. Like, this is extra. But my ancestors tell me, like, it's okay to be extra if you're doing it with a sense because it makes you happy, not because you want to impress other people. So I just feel like right now, especially with the internet, it has to evolve and it has to change really fucking soon.
Yeah. On that note, I pulled a human design card. So this is something that we do every episode. And since we had already been talking about that light side and that shadow side, I think that that plays perfectly into it. I was shuffling the deck and the card number 8 for rebellion came out, but it didn't feel like it just felt like I had slipped my hand. So I was like, oh, like that's not a real pull. And so I shuffled again and this bitch came back out. And so that's what we're going with. Number 8 happens to be my life path number 2. So the sign is Taurus, which is Rampage's sign.
That's my rising sign.
Yeah. The gift is individuality and the shadow is the illusion of safety. That's fucking hilarious for what we're talking about. Beyond the shallow depths of the man-made world of structure lies this beautiful gift of true individuality, a rebellion that transforms the masses. You represent the fringes of society filled with creative free thinkers. Not everyone will understand you or even try to, because it takes courage and inner trust to see past the veil of the physical world and the status quo. It takes a leap of faith to venture down this path, which is why the majority stays firmly in place and so few people veer outside of it. Sameness is safe, but utterly uninspiring. As more people dare to carve a new path, slowly but surely, the rest of the population will wake up to a new possibility as well. You embody a spontaneous sense of individuality that cannot be duplicated. Your creativity lies through you, or lives through you, and you are its divine channel. Your shadow is the illusion of safety. The frequency of this shadow keeps you locked within the relative comfort of the mass majority. It tricks you into believing that the path worth taking is heavily treaded, predictable, safe, and common. Here, your individuality and freedom is lost to the collective. Staying committed to a truth that does not belong to you keeps you small and hollow. At this stage in our evolution, we're seeing the system fail around, the systems around us fail. Education, government, corporations. Only the few truly prevail, whilst the foundational body, the majority, keeps these systems intact, despite their inefficiency in providing a useful structure for all involved. Breaking from the herd threatens the continuation of these programs. It rattles our comforts, but pays off in dividends. Questions to always ask. Am I playing it safe or am I truly alive? Are the expectations of others shaping my life and my decisions? Your themes are individuality, innovation, rebellion, and freedom.
That's so crazy because that literally is every fucking thing we were just talking about. Like that's so everything.
Wild. That's just the type of stuff that makes me realize. Like I love when something so obvious like that happens where the card literally said what we were talking about, because those moments are just, it just is like, wow, like we are in the right place at the right time. Everything is good. Like, yeah, there's things that are happening and it's scary and there's challenges, but then you have moments like this and you just can't argue with the fact that there is a higher power and there's help. That is mind-boggling.
And it goes back to my thing that us people are on that frequency, will be going to a different dimension. I'm not going to stay here and suffer. I promise you all that. Like the last thing I'm going to do is stay here and suffer, because I knew when my spiritual awakening really kicked up in like 2017, that I was speaking to intergalactic beings. I thought I was crazy. I thought telling people that I would go get a grippy sock vacation, but I knew for fucking sure I was speaking to alternate beings. And as that has grown, and like, I know the next like stunt that gets pulled above the veil is going to be a fake alien invasion. Like I know that's coming in the next couple years. That's going to be the next key. Keep everyone inside, there's an alien invasion, and they will be doing that right around election time or right at a time that's crucial for people to be able to go do their thing. That's the reason I feel like COVID was released and manifested, because they wanted to cut in-person voting. They wanted to control the masses and see how easily controlled most people would be. And that's what's so crazy about this place. So it's like the moment that you fall into that fear, you stay here. But the moment that we rise above that fear and, like you said, face those obstacles head on, it's like you can't really be controlled if you don't believe in the system that's trying to control you.
Yeah, and if you know that you are an infinite being, like, okay, cool. Like, because I think that everything really comes back to the fear of death, where it's like, oh, if I go outside of my house, like, I'm going to die of this virus. Or I was just telling someone about, like, when I, like, ran up all my credit cards, and I would get these calls from credit card companies, and the first thing that went through my mind was, like, they're going to come to my house and they're going to throw me in jail. Just like everything connects. It's just dramacy. And then it's also like, and I'm going to die in jail, or I'm going to die of this sickness. It's just like, if you have the awareness of, well, actually there's something after physical death, or just like even the open mind to say, like, if this place goes downhill, I'm down to go to the next dimension, the next place. Like, you can't be controlled if you have that mindset.
Yeah, I like it. I'm just imagining, like, waking up in the morning and there's just like this big, like, saucer above my house. I also totally believe that so much of what they put inside of Hollywood movies and whatever is to gauge what people's reactions to things are going to be and help, like, desensitize to things. And that's why we have so much about, like, war and people being, you know, lost and aliens probing your asshole and just all kinds of stuff, is because one day they really want it to fucking happen. I'd rather die than have an alien touch my butthole, but that's just me. I feel like I would be really scared. I had to get a spinal tap one time, so I had to be like naked with my ass in the air and like on a table in the middle of whatever. And I remember thinking that this would be what it would be like to be scared and have somebody probing your butthole in like a medical room.
Yeah, dude, no, I'm with you on that.
I feel like, though, like, I am less and less scared of other beings as opposed to the survival of the fittest mode that we're kind of taught here, because that's what keeps a lot of people separated and keeps us down and keeps us fighting with one another, is because it's like, well, if I give some to you, that's less for me and it's about me. And I don't feel like other beings operate in that same low vibrational stance. I feel like that's a very human vibrational thing. I'm not saying that, like, there's not good intergalactic beings and bad ones, but from, like, what I've learned in the astral and what I've learned from the Galactic Federation, there are a ranking of beings, but they don't compete with one another like we do here. Like, how we rank each other by money or success or titles or material items, that's not how they rank themselves. There is less ranking and less like systems like that. But yes, there are beings that want to control and want to do those types of things. But I think that the survival of the fittest mode that they teach us in school about animals is like more applicable to people, because a lot of animals are willing to share for the greater good of their like pack. Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, in a lot more natural sense. But yes, that card coming out really does like emphasize that like other beings are here to assist, and like they're here helping people wake up. Because I truly believe that if you're trapped here, or you're signing your soul away, or you're selling your soul for whatever material gain or financial gain that you're getting, like Doja Cat, like, we can go there. I used to really like her, and now she fucking scares me. Like, I recently deleted all of her music from my like platform, because I can't. Like, I'm,
you so feel the energy like when, yes, you listen to the newer songs. Yeah.
And I'm just scared of it. Like, I'm scared of whatever demon that she has gave her soul to.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, it's so real. And it's just the ego mindset of like, I must climb the ranks here, when that mindset is just so small compared to how big it all really is. Yeah.
I think that that's a part of the way that you're surrounding yourself with and whatnot, though, because once you go to these areas like the New York or like the Hollywood or whatever, and you are around this industry and this machine all the time, then all you're getting from everybody around you is like the perfectionist of things. And you have to have, you know, this person do that for you, and this person costs more money, so then you need to make more money, and you need to be in with the Kardashians and the, you know, whatever of the universe. And then you've got that influence around you, and whoever it was that was turning them into the machine, doing the same thing to you. And there's all these, I know that Cat Williams just came out talking about it, but there was just something, I just saw this clip of an interview that like Kelly Clarkson had done with Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart's a huge one that like Cat Williams like talks about as like being a plant inside of Hollywood. And Kelly Clarkson tried talking about how people like offered her money for her soul and to have her do things, and you know, how she's maintained a career through that. And he literally told her to shush. Yeah. In the interview and was like, she was like, people in this room that have like done that with me, like, we can't talk about that here.
Yeah, it really, and people will be like, yeah, he was just kidding. But like, if he knew that people would, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't think that he's just playing around, because it seemed very realistic. Like, he really seemed like, no, like, shh. Because I actually saw that. I don't even know where I saw that, but I did see that. And it's just like, why even react that way? I don't know. Like, I completely, like, I would not be surprised if he is a plant. And it's so true that who you surround yourself with, it infiltrates you. Because I've experienced that even on a very small scale. Just like being, first of all, before you really know yourself and before you are empowered, you are very easily infiltrated, even if you don't realize it, and you're vulnerable. And especially when people get these really young people, they don't have life experience. They don't know themselves. Why do you think that the industry goes after like 14-year-olds to be pop stars? It's like, because you can, speaking about molding, you can mold them. And even if you do have a sense of who you are, I remember being in a room with people, and like, it was maybe 6 years ago, and I definitely don't know myself to the extent I do now, but I wasn't like without awareness. I had awareness of myself. And even being in certain rooms, that energy is so palpable. Like, it feels gross, but you're also like, it starts to like serenade you. It's like, well, I have to do that. Like, I understand. I get it. I get being a woman and being like, well, if I fuck this guy, like, even though he's friggin' 80 years old and absolutely gross, he is a CEO and he might get me to the next level. I just, like, I didn't go that far, but like, I remember just like one of the higher ups in the studio that I was in, like, grabbing my ass. And it was just like, I was just like, what? I was shocked, first of all, because it was just so weird to me. It didn't even make sense, like, the situation. And at the same time, I let it happen, because again, there was part of me that was almost being seduced by all the things that they were saying. Like, well, we're going to help you get there. You're going to get there. You're going to be able to do this, blah, 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 blah. Even though it's all bullshit. But then imagining being in rooms with like these huge stars, that really clouds just everything you know about yourself. And forget it if you don't know anything about yourself yet. Like, if you're one of these teenagers or really young people that are in these rooms with these CEOs that are telling them things, like, they don't understand yet. They're vulnerable. And they do that on purpose. They go after vulnerable people.
I did, when I was in, I think it was my last year of middle school, I did like a Pepsi commercial, and I did like small scale modeling in California. And I wanted to go and I wanted to do bigger auditions for things. And my mom told me, absolutely not. Like, you're not doing that. And I remember our conversation. And one of the things that she said was, you just don't know how those people treat little girls. And I don't want you to be treated the way that they treat little girls. And at the time, you're just like, what are you talking about? Like, I watch Disney Channel, I do this. Like, what do you mean?
You're only
you don't
seeing the surface. You're not seeing the scenes.
Your mind, when you're a kid, even if you, like, I had been through my own, like, traumas and things like that as, like, a little girl, but that's not in your brain as somebody would do this to me and treat me this way. You just think that person's going to give me my dream. And yeah. So if you're going to do something and you think, oh, letting him be creepy to me, that's part of me getting my dream, or this is just what it is. You don't even have the understanding of what's right and wrong. And I think that's why they do it at a young age too. But even when you're older, like, you even have Lady Gaga coming out now too, and Kesha and stuff like that, where they're like, we were adults in this industry and this is how we were treated. And these grown women who, you know, are use their voice to represent so many other people, they didn't speak up for themselves. So of course these little kids, I say little girls, but they do it to, you know, assault knows no gender, right? So like, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can really see, I feel like, in my opinion, where Lady Gaga transitioned into being like an industry plant, and like her energy changed. It gives me a lot of like Doja Cat energy, where they start out and they're all innocent and it's this, and then it goes into like this weird sacrificial blood ritual music videos and things like that. And, you know, I, being a medium, have connected with a lot of people. And I had a client come to me and they were like, my grandfather was a soldier in Nazi Germany. I literally want to talk to Hitler, because his grandpa was like in the ranks of being very, very close to Hitler, like third to the right of Hitler. And I mean, obviously, like, Hitler did some really crazy things, but this man like wanted to talk to his grandfather. And I was like, I've never really had anyone ask me to talk to Hitler, but like, I'll try. And so I channeled like messages from Hitler. And what he told me in this session with this client was that he actually, when he started out, had extremely amazing intentions. That's why they voted him into power. He wasn't wanting to create genocide. He wasn't really wanting to create what he ended up creating, but a being, like an interdimensional being that he connected with, basically kind of fooled him and gave him the power, and in return wanted blood. It wasn't going to settle for like sheep's blood or like a goat or something. Like, he was like telling me that basically, like, when he started, he wanted a platform. He wanted to be heard. He wanted to reach the masses. And that's like pre-internet. That's really hard to do. You've got to know someone who knows someone. And so what Hitler was telling us in this session was that he basically used, I mean, we don't have to call it witchcraft, but he used some form of summoning. And the being that answered on the other side of the call was like, yeah, I'll give you this, and yeah, I'll give you this, but never really said what it wanted in return. And then as his following grew bigger and his light got brighter, that's when you can see an absolute shift in what he was doing in the beginning that got him into office, and then what he ended up doing that was terrible and mass genocide. But the point of that is, he didn't necessarily sell his soul to this being, but in return, there was no like, well, I don't want to do that. It was like, no, you're gonna do that. There was no like, well, I don't want to. It was like, no, you have to now. Like, now you have to. And then it started with like one person. And then, you know, then it was, well, it's just handicapped people and old people. And then it turned into, okay, it's anyone with this blood, or, you know what I mean? And honestly, you know, at that time, if you think about it, like, Jewish people had a lot of money and had a lot of power and actually had majority of the wealth. So, you know, there was just so much that kind of came out in that session that made me realize that a lot of the time people are just asking for abundance or power by any means necessary. And there are a lot of beings that are on the other side of the veil that are like, I got you. I got you. And you don't realize what they're going to want later. Like, you don't realize that, like, they don't tell you up front what kind of contract you're agreeing to. And so that session really changed my life because it changed my perception of Hitler. Although he has, you know, all these horrible things that he did, he spoke on a lot of things that, like, I didn't know about because, like, I'm not a history buff. This guy, he's really into history. I mean, had a picture of his grandpa. Like, it was deep. Like, it was a deep session. And he was like, you know, I know that a lot of mediums wouldn't want to do this because of the name that Hitler, like, left. But Hitler basically straight up said, like, I've been paying for this. Like, I'm not, like, it's not going unturned. You know what I mean? Like, he is trying to rewrite that soul contract. But basically, this being became him. Like, he was himself, and then it became him. And he was a host for that being. Like, he was no longer himself. Like, his soul was trapped in another place. And this being took over his physical body, which is what led to mass genocide on such a huge scale, which makes me realize that a lot of these, like, industry plants and these industry people, they are only doing what they're told, and their soul, in my opinion, is, like, trapped in a little box in another dimension, because these beings are far greater in their power than we even realize when connecting with them. Like, giving us worldly things is so easy for them, but the eternity and the entrapment of your soul is a whole other level.
Right. And if you are just thinking, well, this is my only way to get to what I want, then you're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Cool. And then you don't realize you're going to be paying for it for who knows how long after. And actually, really quickly, speaking of Hitler, I remember reading an excerpt from this channeler that I'm actually, like, she's an amazing woman. I know her pretty well. And it talked about his childhood, how it was really fucked up. Like, his childhood was really fucked up. So I think that's another thing too, like, because so many of us have shitty childhoods, it puts us in a position of like, almost like, I need to become this huge figure because it's making up for maybe even feeling like I had no voice when I was younger. Like, who knows what the trauma has done to so many people that do sign these contracts. And yeah, like you were saying, it, they don't realize, I'm sure a lot of them don't realize that they're going to be paying for it for a while.
It's so interesting that it wouldn't just be like one medium that's had like an experience with him specifically, but like you're mentioning somebody else directly with him. And there's so many like conspiracy theories about like demonic takeover and like eating of the babies and whatever inside of like Hollywood and the rich and things like that. And people are so willing to believe those conspiracies. But then when you start talking about anything that could happen after you're here in this physical life, it's like, well, absolutely not. That couldn't happen. And like, that's crazy. I know there's going to be somebody who listens to Rampage talking about her thing and be like, what the fuck is this kooky shit? And it's like this stuff is real, and this is the stuff that a lot of people don't talk about, and so it just stays in like the conspiracy corner of things. And there's so many things that allude to it in so many ways, and I agree that these beings feed off of so much different energy, regardless of what it is, like whether it's a mass consumerist energy, whether it's actually like killing people, whether it is belittling people to make them order a product and give in to like a specific energy that way. Like, if you think about changing your physical body so that then you can start marketing in a different way that you weren't marketing at before or whatever, you're giving people all of these ups and downs of their emotions and their body, and you're controlling and influencing a whole group of people to do basically whatever you're wanting, support products that are tested on animals or created by little baby fingers or, you know, somebody's like aborted fetus or whatever the fuck they do anymore.
So I have another thing that I would like your all's opinion on. So someone on TikTok had went into like fairy folklore and like legends and about like gnomes and all of this stuff. And she was talking about like the elf on the shelf. is a demonic contract that the lady wrote this book, and like then all of a sudden every home had one, like our childhood nowhere to be found, but then out of nowhere around like 2011 it was just like boom, this is in everyone's house. And it always makes you think, like when something goes mainstream seamlessly overnight, who are you working with? Like what beings are you working with that made this happen? So they were basically saying that like elves are also on the spiritual folklore of like fairies and gnomes and that kind of thing. And they were saying not all elves actually have good intentions. Like they're very sneaky and things like that. And that's kind of been pushed onto fairies, which isn't as true. So they were saying that the person that wrote this book, if you look at some of her photos and her book signings early on in the career, she looks possessed. Like, I encourage you all to check it out. She looks very, very possessed and almost like empty. Like how I said before, like Hitler basically said, like he left his body and this thing took over. Like how Doja Cat, like that's the only person else that I can really like relate that to. But I mean, with the Elf on the Shelf, it went from no one had ever heard of it to 10 million copies sold. So what is your all's opinion on that? Does that feel like a soul entity or contract to you all?
I think it definitely can. I want to know more about that. I want to see more about that. That's so interesting to me, that stuff.
So I know a little bit about the folklore side of things, especially with having Coven on. I've had people who like, I had a girl, we talked about her actually. She's the one who lived down where the fires were in Hawaii and her childhood home was burned down. But she talks about, her episode is, I think, the Fae and Menahuni. And so the Fae encompasses a whole broad scope of beings and energies. So you have fairies under that. I think gnomes are under that. Elves would be under that. Menahunis, I think, are considered Fae. So there's this whole scope of things. I will not have an elf on a shelf inside of my house. I've always been extremely weird about stuffed animals in general. Like I'm not one to like buy my kids stuffed animals or things like that. I've always thought it's super creepy. Elf on a shelf is super uncomfortable to me. Like I've always gotten a bad energy off of it. Will not have it. My kids think it's fucking creepy. Also though, I just found this out this year and I thought it was kind of fucked and I was just talking to my mom about it, but the whole elf on a shelf thing is like, it's constantly causing mischief and then it goes back to the North Pole. It's always fucking with like your kids and like having trickery, creating huge messes and stuff. And then the kids are told that they can't touch the elf because if they touch the elf, then it doesn't have magic anymore and it can't fly home. And so basically the elf can't do any, like the kids can't do anything. You have to have your hands back. This elf is fucking with your stuff every night. It's actually your parents mind fucking you, using the elf to fuck with you. And like, I don't understand that. Also, if you're going to talk about not having that in your home though, there's other things like, we were just talking about fairies. So like the tooth fairy, you're leaving an offering by your kids having their tooth out. So I'm a mother, so I have to talk kind of low. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. So like with my son, I never have him put his tooth under a pillow. I always take his tooth, and I have him write like a letter to the tooth fairy. And there's no, the tooth fairy is always me. Like I never open the letter. Like I never read that contract. And, I never have given him money the night that he's lost his tooth. I've always waited till the following night. And I've always left him a note and been like, your light was on. My magic doesn't work. Your room was messy. I can't come through that. Your dog tried to eat me. Sorry, I didn't make it. Like there's all these different things. And I think that's, to me, that's because he's written out a contract. And if I give what he's requesting in that contract, I also don't give exact amounts of money that are requested. Like recently he's like, Mom, it's a front tooth. I need $20. I'm like, you've got $5. I would never, could you, like kids these days want $20 for a fucking tooth. And I just, that's a steep fucking price, man. You've got like 40 of those bitches in there. Like you're going to need to get a job.
I literally have the funniest story. The first time I lost a tooth, they gave me $20. And by the end of the month, I forced out like four more teeth. Like I just was like forcing them out. And like all it took was the $20 bill. Cause I mean, back in the 90s, that was a lot of money. And literally, I had forced out like four teeth. Like throughout the next month, and my mom was like, "Why are you losing all of your teeth?" Like at one point, I had like no fucking teeth because I was like constantly messing with them, trying to get them to come out. So like all of my baby teeth were gone really early. Like I had braces on at like 11 years old because like I had just swooped them all out for the money. But
yeah. Rich.
Literally. And like the thing that you were saying about like you can't touch it or it loses its magic, so that's another thing that this girl on TikTok had like went into about how it is a soul contract when you give it a name and you create rules. So they were basically saying, like, I can't remember exactly what the elf's entity name was, but they said basically like he was exiled from the fae community like in folklore days because he was always causing mischief, which was giving them a bad name and creating like animosity in the spiritual realm, because this specific elf entity was like always causing mischief. So when this lady channeled this book, he set all of those rules. Like he basically told her what it was going to do and what it needed to do and how it was going to happen. And he promised her notoriety and fame. And if you look into the lady who wrote Elf on the Shelf, she was like absolutely a nobody. Her children's books never took off. She had not had any real success. And then she created this random book. And now it's literally everywhere. So it blows my mind in its theory of like, what kind of energetic contract is that really withholding? And a lot of the times, like you said earlier, Samantha, about people are young and they don't know the difference between like this is being good or this is bad. And it blows my mind how many people force spiritual contracts onto their kids. And that's normal. And then, you know, kind of like what we see in the music industry and like the child acting, like you said, you don't know right from wrong at 12 years old, 14 years old. Like you just know that people are saying you're amazing at this and you're going to make a lot of money at this. And you have heard money is important, right? You have heard that whatever your parents have said about money, and it just like really feeds into the fact of like, look at fucking like Justin Bieber. Not there, not in there anymore. And I totally believe like that handler thing where these celebrities get handlers to keep them calm or keep them in the home or keep them like perceivably under control, because they can't do what they did to Britney Spears to everyone.
Yeah, really quickly back to the elf. I was just thinking about how what we were talking about, like, desensitization through media. And how there's so many horror films about like the Chucky doll type of thing. And I think that plays a role in just like, I don't know. I feel like that does something. Like why are there so many movies about dolls or stuffed animals that are evil or demonic? And it's just interesting that then we don't connect the dots sometimes, where it's like the Elf on the Shelf thing, which by the way, it is so interesting to think about, because that definitely like wasn't in my household. And it's weird that to me that like parents move the shit around and then blame it on the elf. Like, yeah, I just think that, I don't know. I think that we just don't realize, like, and like also like you said about the contracts that we put on our children, I think that we are very unaware that our actions matter, and the things we believe in, the things that we show to our kids, like those things matter. And yeah, like we put stuff on them that we don't even realize, and obviously like they don't want us to realize like all of these things.
Damn. This is some deep conversation. We've never really dived in like into quote unquote like controversial topics before. And here we are like talking about, I mean, we've talked about like a lot of things, but when it goes into like getting into like the nitty gritty about like government things, specific celebrities, channeling Hitler, stuff like that.
I could see that not coming up on
human contracts. Like that's not stuff we've talked about yet, but it's so fucking cool that it's with you though, because what a transition, like talking about like your transition of like your image, your voice, what you're using your voice for, right? To go from the, like, I'm only talking about the manifestation thing to then talking about like those shadow aspects. And there are these, so many of these like beautiful things and so many gratitudes, but also there's demon contracts. And here we go.
Oh, I have so many ideas now. Like, oh yeah. Something came to me when you guys were talking about Hitler and how you can see it as if his soul is somewhere in a box while this demon like takes over or whatever you want to call it is actually acting as him. And I'm like, yeah, I have a lot of good ideas. And actually on the album I'm working on, the first song on it is called Pandora's Box. So it's very similar to the things that we're talking about in a way.
Yeah.
The podcast for us and like bringing new guests on is like, we want to explore these deeper topics with other people and like understand their perception. So we are so grateful to just have this open space with you, because I do think that a lot of people are afraid of being canceled or the cancel culture or being judged or being misinterpreted. And like what we've learned with the podcast is we've went through waves of supporters who are like, this is my lifeline. I will do anything for these people, to them fading out and attracting new listeners and new people. And, you know, Spotify, going back to how much money they make, they have started to limit our capacity to earn on the podcast based on all these new rules. And used to, they know that we have listeners that are obviously on Apple and Amazon and other platforms, but now they are limiting the views and the listens just to their platform. So every other listen and view that we get from any other platform doesn't fucking matter anymore. And it's just, once again, to keep the small business people down, to keep the small creators and the small listeners down. So
it's to get you to stop doing what you're doing.
Literally. Yeah. And so, you know, we always want to encourage people that are listening to just like step out of that box and do what you want because you want to do it, not because it's working or because other people support it, because that support is going to come and go. And we have learned that. And I'm sure you being an artist, like a lot of people want an artist to stay in this box. They want them to stay in this energy. And I've seen like one of my favorite bands is Highly Suspect, and they've evolved throughout their career. And people are like, this music is soft. You need to go back to making this. And the guy was like, I'm sorry, as artists, that we have evolved and changed over the last 10 years of having a fucking band. If you like that era of our music, then go listen to that music. We're not making it again. We've evolved. We're on a different chapter. So everyone listening, we just encourage you as a collective to like do what resonates with you, because it's not going to make sense to other people. But one day people will look back and be like, that person was a genius. Kind of like Vincent Van Gogh. They thought he was a crazy Looney Tune, never sold a painting. And then now his art is worth billions of dollars. And people don't even realize what they're creating when they're in the midst of creating. So thank you so much, Samantha, for coming on tonight. Is there a message that you want to leave everyone with?
I really enjoyed this experience. I feel like it was just nice to go into deeper topics with two awesome people and just to like go there, you know, because it does get weird sometimes with not knowing if someone is going to think you're insane. And actually, it brings to me into my attention, knowing that I was definitely burned at the stake, knowing that I was definitely killed in past lives for speaking my mind. And I think that being able to talk about things that definitely have got me killed in the past, like it is very healing to be able to do that. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. And this was awesome. And just really following what you said, that for everyone listening, no matter what people say, no matter what type of support you're getting, only you know what is right for you. And if you have a calling, first of all, I would maybe keep it to yourself at first, or to a few people that you really trust, because don't let anyone get in the way of you doing whatever that purpose is for you. So just know that whatever you're meant to do is important, and don't let anyone talk you out of that.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. And I think that's such a beautiful message to leave people with.
Yes, we'll have to have you back on when your new album comes out. We can talk about the nitty gritty dark stuff, because obviously we love going there. And to feed on what you said, I know that I've been persecuted for my spiritual beliefs. So to pay a little taxes and be left alone, I'm like, I'm cool, but some shit needs to change. But like, these dark entities that have overtaken our government need to go. And I think that as we use our voices, especially just as women, speaking up and being confident in our messages is so beautiful. So everyone, we will put in the description box where you can find Samantha, her social media, the ways that you can connect with her. And as always, join our Patreon to get the visual experience. We drop episodes early on Patreon, so you can find that information as well in the description box. And we will see you all next time in Candyland.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.